And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's a fast-paced world that seems to just keep on getting faster and faster every day. Seems there's hardly any time to slow down. We wish we could just head on out back to the Earth to get that connect. But when do you find time? Well, today, we're heading out right in the middle of the week. Before work, after work, towards evening. So we take a midweek vacation, and you're coming along. So enjoy this little vacation and see just how easy it is when we return here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Good morning, and welcome to the Wildside News. Today I thought I'd take you along on a journey and spend some time in the urban environment, see what's possible from a big city, San Diego. It's morning, it's before sunrise, and at this point we're headed to the beach, to the Pacific Ocean, to get this show started. And so you get to just kind of come along for the ride and enjoy the day. I have a Toyota pickup truck. Okay. So, find the keys. That's always a challenge in the dark. It's the longest key. So here we go. Turn on NPR, see what's going on. That's a great way to start the day. Can't say I've done that recently. So next stop is the Pacific Ocean. Beach, and the amazing thing is that there's nobody here. There's not a single car. So this is our private tour of the Pacific Ocean today. So let's get going. There's nobody here. This is really quite amazing. Take a walk down to the beach. Well, it's 5:42, and officially the sunrise is at 5:44 today. So we're 2 minutes away from sunrise on the Pacific Ocean. I wanted to share this moment with you. At this point, there is one surfer, which is rare here in San Diego to see only one. And also, the beach is completely deserted. This is my beach, on my edge of the world. So I wanted to share this with you. It's rare to be on the beach alone, but here you are with me. 5:43 and counting. You've got 1 minute, and then it'll be sunrise in San Diego. One of the things I've noticed as I walked up to the beach was the fact that the seagulls were so quiet. I had expected 5 o'clock in the morning that they might be making more noise, but I guess, like most other birds, they have their time when they start to do that morning bird call. But the gulls are fairly silent, unless, as you can hear in the background, every once in a while, something happens, like right now. Some little frenzy. They find some little thing, and then all of a sudden they all show up. Oh, here's a countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another day. It's official. It's 5:44 a.m. Pacific time. Just another day on this little planet of ours. All alone here on the beach, a chance to just let the waves roll all over my soul. The ocean. It's amazing how being here just washes that crazy world away. Thank you. that's something here in this city of 1.5 million people. It's just me in this great big ocean. Enjoy this time on the ocean. Go ahead. Just close your eyes and relax. Listen to the surf.
Thank you.
down at the ocean with me this morning. From here, this afternoon, we're going to go inland up to Dos Picos County Park. You know, there's so many ways to enjoy nature, even in the urban environment. Next stop is going to be Dos Picos County Park in what we call East County San Diego. So that'll be on the other side of the break here. Let's see what's happening on NPR.
Regions today. Yesterday, jurors again brought up the possibility of being deadlocked. Melody Peoples reports from Birmingham.
In this, their second note to federal judge Karen Bowdrey, jurors said they were deadlocked and asked the judge for an explanation in layman's terms. U.S. Attorney Alex Martin says jurors are confused by inconsistencies in the judge's 47-page instructions.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
We've been to the beach before breakfast. Hope you enjoyed the walk. Well, now, we take off and head about 24 miles out of town. It's a 45-minute drive. We're spending the late afternoon in a county park. You don't have to wait for the weekend. Just drive on out, find a spot, and let the earth talk to you. You can be home in time for a late supper. Your midweek vacation continues when we return with your Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.
I am at Dos Picos Park, San Diego.
Well,
nobody home?
No, out on the campsite.
All right. Fair enough. Let's see. We'll return at 5, huh? Okay.
Is that what you said?
I think so.
Oh, gosh.
5 o'clock, so. Okay. Well, I'll be back. Okay, yeah, it's still recording. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to go find myself a place to settle in then. And so I shall. Well, this is always kind of an adventure. And there's squirrels out there. There's an adult squirrel. Hi, squirrel. And a little baby. Okay. The squirrels of Dos Picos. But there's something really special, a sense of freedom about coming into the park. There's not many people here during the week, of course. Lots of available space. And just kind of driving around and trying to figure out which one is mine. And let's see. Now, of course, I'm not really going to camp tonight, although we could, but I didn't really come prepared. But there's all sorts of oak trees that overshadow, and it's really nice to see the lights and the shadows everywhere. So I'm going to find a little spot. I'm just going to sit down and relax. Relax sounds good. Here, I just found one right here. Okay. Thank you. first stop, after putting my truck up, is to head to the restaurant. So, that's what I'm going to do. Smoke in the air, all over the place. It's a good smell. So it's getting on summer here, so the trees are pretty well leafed out. That's a crow's. It's a park of crows. Squirrels are one of my favorite things about those people. They're great. Hi, little squirrel. He's sitting on the bumper of my truck. As a matter of fact, he was sitting there when I got there. So apparently he wants something. Squirrels. I swear they must be as smart as almost any animal out there. I'm sure I'll see him soon. One of the great things about doing a weekday visit is the fact that you can travel so light. I actually stopped at a Jack in the Box on the way here and picked up a snack, one of their bruschettas, and now I'm sitting at the table. Ah, it doesn't get much better than this. Little tiny baby squirrel. Crazy. Sitting here, it reminds me of when I was here last year, just about the same time.
It's been a long time since I've had the chance to hang out with squirrels. I grew up in the Midwest, where squirrels were residents. Even as a child, it was obvious that squirrels had complex habits. They seemed busy, much of the time with food, finding it, burying it, unburying it. There were the somewhat regular disputes, with squirrels racing like electrons up and around trees, chasing one another, tree bark on the old elms bearing their clawed pursuit, sounding like metallic rain. Most often, it was merely a chase, but sometimes things got serious. Squirrels locked in a scuffling ball of frenzy, spewing dirt and dust and grasses in a wake of rage. And then there were the stiff bodies in the alleys and streets. First squirrels seemed almost drawn to running under moving cars. I understand squirrels. I appreciate their passion. They are prominent neighbors. But I had been away from squirrels, living in the high desert of New Mexico for so long, so it came as a pleasant surprise to find myself camped next to a family of squirrels at Dos Picos County Park, just outside Ramona, California. I ventured there on a Tuesday in May, so the campground had only a handful of campers. I'd set up my tent, organized my provisions and gear, which had been hastily thrown into the back of my truck, and finally took my first real sit on the wooden picnic table. The scrub oaks, which sheltered the campground in their umbrella of reaching limbs, created a near mystical setting. One feels the transition from the urban to the wild slowly emerge from within, like the warmth that spreads from the first sip on good scotch. The settling, the grounding, the expanding awareness out and away from the sense of me, and the sizzling quietness rebirths. One finds a new way of looking. One sips and savors the surroundings. It took only a few minutes until I began to see the squirrels. They are wary of all new beings and watch carefully from their sentry stance, erect, paws up, their large dark eyes absorbing the world around them. I quickly connect with the large dark eyes, and squirrels resume their gathering, and peeking out from their burrows. There are 3 adult squirrels and 6 young squirrels in training. There are rules, lots of rules, to being squirrels. And the adults administer like schoolmarms and disciplinarians. Too far from the burrow? A squirrel chirp warns, "Stop, don't go any further." There is also the loving side of squirrels. The adults seem always respectful of one another. They take turns at sentry, for which there is always one standing watch. They groom and nuzzle. The young play. Touch is important. The family has a bunker, a headquarters, which is a circular concrete fire ring, under which the squirrels maintain a series of entries. These connect in a mysterious way with 2 outlier posts, each about 20 feet away. The squirrels, at any one time, can be in 1, 2, or all 3 of these retreats, but always there is a sentry posted, watching. I'd forgotten squirrels, how present they can be. Along with the squirrels, there was an ongoing troop of large black crows. The crows seem in constant contact with this place. They have a different approach to life than squirrels. They seem mostly to focus on interacting with everything around them, mostly other crows, but also with the smaller birds, the acorn woodpeckers, and bluebirds, and jays, and nuthatches. They find food as it presents itself. They are prominent neighbors, too. At times the worlds of crow and squirrel meet. I watched as an adult squirrel had wandered a considerable distance from its eastern bunker, doing its weightless leapfrog jumps through the grasses around its home, a squirrel's signature movement. 2 crows swaggered through the grasses as well, maintaining a 2-foot distance between them. The squirrel and the crows, when I noticed them, were about 7 feet apart, but moving towards each other. Neither side gave ground, and the distance narrowed. The squirrel seemed almost to want to confront the crows, and hopped right into the path of one of the crows, confident of its right to do so. And the crow waddled forward. They collided, as animals of different species sometimes do, and the squirrel went low, chirped a series of scolds, and batted the crow's leg. The crow made a quick flicking dance into the air, up, over, and beyond the squirrel. It seemed as if they had done this many times before. No tempers raised. It seemed a game. Animals, particularly squirrels, know the lay of the land around them. One squirrel ventured far away from the eastern bunker, actually going down into a shallow gully, then back up the other side and onto the asphalt pad where the truck was parked. 30 or 40 feet lay between the squirrel and the nearest bunker. It walked with assurance across the pad and on over to the water pipe which emerged from the ground, upon which was my campsite faucet. It moved in close to the base and almost hugged the 4x4 post which supported the pipe. Its head turned, and it burrowed its mouth into the crevasse between pipe and post. There, a seminal source of water, just slow drips, gave this family a steady source. This family had chosen wisely to excavate their residence near this spot. I slept the night in my tent and found the new morning full of fresh wonder. The squirrels, too, exhibited a renewed vigor. The day was rich again, balmy as San Diego is. By afternoon, all eyes and vigor relaxed a bit. At one time, 2 adults perched on the concrete bunker, while the 6 young stretched full out, bellies flat to the concrete, and hind legs stretched out behind them. They all seemed of one mind to sun and relax. But on the western bunker, the other adults stood sentry, watching. I noticed how I too felt a little nappy, and did lie down for a short while in the tent, that divine rest under oak trees, and the kiss of a perfect day with a gentle sun and easy dancing winds. I got out of the tent, still a little groggy, and went to the picnic table and sat. My eyes were still a little droopy. I'd noticed a counterpoint to this moment, some squawking in the ambiance, when the fast swoop of crow's wings and calls and screams erupted. I looked towards the source of the sudden splash of anxiety, which centered on the western bunker. I saw the sentry there, only lighter in color, larger, and fending off the flybys of the screaming crows. It was a hawk, grounded at the burrow. I looked as the 2 squirrels rasped their fear-streaked screams at the horror, as the hawk held fast to the convulsed body of an adult squirrel. The local crows flew sorties at the hawk, which seemed to slouch its head and remain. I called out, "No, no! Oh, I'm sorry!" to my squirrel friends. I wanted to pick up a rock and throw it at the hawk, but knew I was witnessing a sacred, if terrible, event. But as the hawk just sat in the burrow with the squirrel, I thought perhaps if I walked towards the hawk, it might let go of its prey, and perhaps the squirrel would only be wounded. And I felt I owed it to my dear squirrel friends, who had accepted me as their neighbor in residence. So I walked down the little grassy gully and back up, retracing the route the squirrel had walked to the water spigot. The hawk knew what I wanted. It slouched its head again, its body tightened, and it lifted into the air the sagging body of my squirrel friend, bushy-tailed trailing out under the overhanging canopy of oak, until it found an opening, and then it disappeared, the crows giving noble chase to no avail. The six young were deep in their burrows. Two squirrels remained. The elder one was transfixed in a skewed, upright stance, while the younger squirrel, who I felt was the female, cried out, once each second, towards its stolen friend. The scolding continued, second by second, for many minutes. By the time it ended, I'd clocked over 20 minutes. Towards the end, the sharp reproach changed, and a rasp appeared interwoven with the scold, and the rasp wilted to a hopeless breathlessness, which eventually led to the end of the calling. Small dark eyes appeared from the burrows, barely breaking past the surface. The young poked their heads out. One actually climbed onto the concrete bunker, but not for long. My time had come to pick up my gear and put it back into the truck. I'd traveled light, so it didn't take long. All the time, I felt the flush of the wild within me renewed. Within 45 minutes, I was back home in Solana Beach. A day and night in the county of San Diego, I vowed I needed more. I appreciated this place for all that it had given to me.
Those people park is hit hard by the San Diego fires. And for quite some time, the park itself was closed off. So now as you walk along, you see the death from the fire. An extraordinary resiliency of nature as it comes back full, green, and alive. Forgets about the past and moves on forward into life. Plants here. That was amazing that you could find. Yes. Okay. But then right next to it is this. Poison oak. And the poison oak is just about everywhere. So, you gotta be careful. You haven't been out in a while. I really suggest it because things happen. You start noticing things you forgot about, like a little ladybug sitting on a branch. How lightly butterflies dance in the air. Lizards and what they're thinking as they scamper across the rocks to hide. Suddenly it seems to have gotten very quiet. And I actually have to start heading back now. So, isn't there? Oh, is that right? Okay, thank you. It's 5:30 and now the sign has been changed. It's going to be back at 5:45. So, that's the way it turns out. Sorry, we'll return at 5:45. Sorry, we missed you. So, that's my day at Dos Picos Park. Sorry, I missed the ranger. I was hoping to talk to someone, but we'll have to wait till next time. That's kind of what happens. Just head on out. Take a day adventure. See what turns up. I spent the entire time by myself. It was really enjoyable. And now I've got a ride home. Back to San Diego. Along a beautiful drive. And who knows what adventure may lie ahead.
Getting wild in the midweek is easy. Why not just do it this evening? Hop in your car and head to the nearest park. Pick up a snack and let the songs of the wild carry you on to face the rest of the week. When we return, we head on back to the Pacific Ocean for a chance to watch the sunset, or, well, come on along. This is your mini midweek vacation, brought to you by the Voice of the Earth, here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Ready to continue your vacation? Great. You deserve it. So, put on your beach sandals. We're heading to the beach along the Pacific Ocean to watch as the sun disappears. Just come on along for the stroll. Nothing works like a walk on the beach. You've got time. Here. We'll be heading out when we come back on the Wildside News.
Well, I'm home, but now I'm heading off to the ocean, to the beach, to the Pacific Ocean. And I want you to come along. So here we go again. Welcome to my Toyota truck. Okay, putting on the seat belt here.
And Sonata was part of Lee's preliminary round performance.
NPR. So where we go. Hopefully next stop, Pacific Ocean. It's a beautiful sunset.
It's about, he's essentially, it's about a border guard on the Texas, on the border with Texas and Mexico, who kills a Mexican cowboy.
Heading down Highway 101.
Plays this Mexican's best friend.
The town of Encinitas.
What he does is he takes this border guard and forces him to take the body
at the beach
in Mexico.
So,
there
come on along.
And it's basically like a different.
So I've come to watch the sunset here on the Pacific Coast. Heading down to the beach. There's people around. Big fires. Smoke in the air. And unfortunately, I cannot see the sun. Maybe if I get lucky, it'll break through just at the last minute. But I want to share this with you anyway. The sun is going down. And we're now down here on the beach. And you can hear lots of people. Not too many. There's probably about 60 people down here. This is the surf. Just as I hoped, suddenly the sun is peeking down below the clouds. It's as if it's right on cue. And there it is, and now
As I see the sun setting, in reality I'm going to feel the earth turn because the sun is fixed. There it goes. Here comes the earth. It's spinning. It's spinning. Away from the sun. And there now we spin away. Goodbye, son. Until we meet again. Tomorrow. Well, I'm finishing my day here at the beach, and I just watched. I came down here to watch an earth turn. It's an important concept. You don't really watch the sun set. What you're really watching is, you see, this thing is the earth turning away. And that's a good way to put yourself in context with what's really going on. Do you see what I'm saying? That, and it's kind of fun because then you can start to sort of feel the ride, as opposed to imagining somehow what the earth is. That the sun is setting, so I came out to watch an earth turn. What are you out here for? Where again?
My name's Everett.
Everett.
My name is Jill.
Now, you come out to the beach for quite a bit?
Yes, we live nearby. And we like to take a night run right when the earth is turning.
There you go! Of course, you're a science teacher, that's what I hear.
Yes, I teach science down in National City.
What grade?
Seventh grade, life science.
So what are kids thinking about nature these days?
That's a good question. Bugs are something to be scared of, and squash, and... you try to get them to love the nature, but they don't see much of it down there in the city.
But how about yourself? Why is it that you are drawn to science and nature?
Well, it's from my mom. She used to take us on walks, and it just seems like a part of me. You know, I've always been drawn to nature, and I lived in Africa, in the jungle, in the Peace Corps, and that really... really, I got away from all the fast paces of this world and found the peace that you can have when you're out in nature.
It's kind of a shame that so many people seem not to know about that.
And so many people that will never experience it, never have the chance.
So what would be your hope in terms of how to get people to, you know, kind of keep it going and keep it healthy? Because we need to.
I'd like to get people outdoors more, do outdoor education, get them out to experience it, get them away from their computer technologies and Game Boys. It would be nice if we could do a field trip without a Game Boy.
I've been away from environmental education long enough where I haven't experienced that. That would be terrible. So when you come to the ocean here, what happens to you? Any changes?
Oh, yes, definitely. It just, you're stepping out of society. I'm in a comfort zone here, and there's no judgments happening. There's no games to be played. You just feel like you're one with nature.
Yeah, Mother Nature accepts you no matter what you smell like.
Was that directed at me?
No.
Even after a run.
Thanks. Okay. Well, I'll let you folks get back to your evening. Thanks, and
thank you.
And maybe we'll run into each other again.
All right. All right.
Check that out.
Good deal.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, that's the end of the day, and I thank you for coming along. And I hope you get a chance to head on your own. That's this beautiful world. So, goodbye, ocean. So this is Sidney Wildsmith saying goodbye until we meet again here on the Wild Side News, or anytime on the archives on your Voice of the Earth.
Moderate militants coming out here?
I think we're seeing a couple of issues framed in such a way that Republican moderates who have been looking for an opportunity to step away from the general direction of their party in Congress, not necessarily the party in the country, but the party in Congress has been taking a distinctly rightward direction in the last several years. The leadership has gotten more conservative in the last several years. And some of these people have been looking for a way to differentiate themselves, and they're getting it. They're getting it on the judicial issue, where it will show. Thank you.